Welcome to the Fit Dad Club podcast. My name is Travis Jones. I'm here with Jason Barrett for another magical podcast to help dads close the gap between where they are and where they want to be in all aspects of their life, mainly health and fitness, but we do talk about other things. Jace, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I had a little slight lower back tweak earlier in the week, so I've taken it easy this week on training, but still getting my walks in, still hitting my calories, because one little speed bump does not mean you throw the entire plan out the window. Just thinking of it as a bit more extra rest before I get to do some more crazy fun workouts. But other than that, I'm doing very well. I've had some very good success with new recipes lately. The latest one, bit of a shill, if you haven't seen it, is the baked oat bar that I've done. For anyone who's listening, I've done that one on the Instagram. You'll see the thumbnail is like a little, looks like a little slice of cake or a little slice of pie. Actually fucking legit. Like,
yeah,
I've made it twice again since I've posted it. Because it's basically like, think about having overnight oats, but just in a bar that you can take. But the recipe I got it from does it in all these little individual ramekins. But I was like, no, I'm just going to do it in a big cast iron pan, like a cast iron cookie. Comes out like it's obviously not the same as having like a cake, but it's super high in protein, super low in fats. I've chopped up some Easter eggs and put it throughout it because I don't know about you guys, we have a shit ton of Easter eggs left over. But yeah, I found a lot of good success with that recipe from a meal prep perspective. It was my breakfasts or lunches for like 4 days in a row, and I'm probably going to make another batch today. So yeah, that's pretty much all the updates from me. Doing well, man. How are you?
Awesome, man. Pretty good, dude. Pretty good. Did a half marathon on the weekend. Got a bit of a PB, which was good.
Nice.
So started off a bit slow because I was just going to crack under 2 hours. But after three or four Ks, I was like, you know what? Feel okay. Go for a crack at it. Didn't do it without the gels and actually got a PB. Who knows?
So gels slow you down, man. That's just extra weight. You don't need
exactly, it. Exactly. I am still tracking online to try and move towards my sub 3 hour 20 marathon in July. So we will see how we continue to go with short-term goals and long-term goals that we talked about at the start of this year.
Yeah.
I have literally a half marathon every single month booked in pretty much for the first 6 months of the year, lining me up towards the, it is, man. I have my May one, which is next month in Melbourne or in the, where are we doing it? Along the coast road there, the Great Ocean Road, sorry. And then I have June, I have the Launceston half marathon. And then before that's before the July marathon. So it'll be 7 months and seven half marathons.
Not bad.
One for one. Yeah, it'd be good, man.
What have I got? I've got 12K run for a reason. I did my first over 7K run, 9Ks on an hour of consistent running on last Friday. And then, yeah, I've got to build my way up to 12Ks, which is in about a month. And then I might do City to Surf as well. It's a nice little middle ground before I get to High Rocks. Helps me keep my my running capacity up. But, yeah, it's all happening, guys. Set little goals. Set events that you've got to go to. And your performance will match it. You've just got to do them.
Exactly, man. I completely agree. I think you have bigger goals and you have little goals along the way, and performance-based goals keep you attuned to it. Just make sure you do keep your lifting up. That is mandatory. Mandatory practice.
Take it to lift.
Exactly. Got to do it. Yep. And today we're talking about avoiding burnout and overwhelm. And you know what? I think it's inevitable that during any journey or any time we're trying to move towards something, you're going to try to have some form of burnout or some form of overwhelm. At some stage, you're going to experience it. And you're going to be lying to yourself if you're not. So as a dad, you know, you're constantly, it's a juggling act between work, kids, your partner, your health and fitness. You know, there's stresses, whether it be financial, emotional, there's physical stresses. Like, you're always trying to do your best. No one wakes up in the morning and go, I'm going to do my worst today. Like, you're literally trying to do your best. And at times when you're trying to do your best, you simply will feel like there's a piling list of never-ending tasks that you can't get on top of. And people listening right now going, yeah, that might feel like me at the moment. And great, because that's the podcast we're going to be going through today. Or maybe you've experienced this in the past, or maybe someone you know is experiencing this, and you might listen in just to help them out a little bit. Because we want to know how to move through this, because we know you're trying your best, and you might not feel like you'll be able to catch a break And we want to know, how do we move through this so it stops making us feel like we're walking through mud? So we're going to talk about how to combat this today, so your life doesn't feel like it's like falling like a house of cards, I guess, because that's how it can feel. It's like one thing happens and all of a sudden it all starts to crumble if you don't keep it all in the air. And we don't want that. So when we look at it, we don't want to say, I'm going to have a break, because this is what happens. I've seen it so many times with my guys over the years that I've coached them. They're like, you know what, I don't have time for this anymore. Right, they'll just flat out go, because they don't know how to deal with it. They'll say, I don't have time for this anymore, or I need to have a break for a little bit, within a couple of days, just because I can't do it. And then that couple of days turns into 2 weeks, which turns into 2 months, and then they all of a sudden they put the weight back on where they started. They didn't press pause; they literally pressed rewind. So we want to avoid this. Like, we don't want to wing it, and we don't want to do it by yourself, and we don't want to make it too complicated, and we don't want to make it too hard. We just need to understand, how do I get through the burnout, or how do I get through the overwhelm that I currently feel like I'm facing?
Hmm. Yeah, that's, I think, a big contextual reframe for a lot of people, is that it's what you're currently facing. It's not forever. It's a temporary set of circumstances. And part of the reason for this podcast was I was chatting to one of my guys earlier in the week who was experiencing this, and the analogy that I used with him, and that I'll use with everyone here, when it comes to avoiding burnout, is you don't wait until your car breaks down before you take it in for a service, right? My dad drilled this into me because I got a diesel car. He was like, every 10,000 Ks, you take it in for an oil change. Every 10,000 Ks, he's like, he did that for one of his vans, and it's probably run up to like 400,000, 500,000 Ks now. It just keeps on fucking going, right? It's had its issues, but it keeps on going. So you've got to be preemptive, and you've got to be proactive with knowing the signs of burnout. And the best way for you to do that is to understand, how have you burnt out, or what has your burnout pattern been before, right? Do you, shut down and go into yourself, and then, or do you become really silent and non-expressive, or like, what are the things that for you, you know, are leading to a bit of burnout or a bit of overwhelm or a bit of, too much? And it's kind of like, the bucket that overflows. You want to be able to scoop off the water and drain it out every now and again. And that bucket is essentially your fatigue. That fatigue comes from being pulled in too many different directions. You have so many different areas that are demanding your attention. And as a dad, there are areas that you simply cannot drop the ball on, right? And that's your parenting. And for most guys, it's your providing, right? Those are the two big areas that will take a lot of your time, a lot of your energy, and a lot of your effort. If work ramps up and you're needed more at home, let's say you have a new bub on the way, or that's just come, or your kids are sick, or your wife is sick, or she has a work trip or something, like, it's easy to see all those things add up. And that's why you've got to almost have like a reserve for when shit does hit the fan. Like I've said many times before, randomness has never not happened, and random shit and shit gets thrown at you, and you have, this is number one, not expecting that life is just always going to go smoothly, and that, oh, I've got this big time at work, so I know that the kids are going to be easy, and all of their trips are going to go exactly as planned, and no one's going to get sick, and no one's going to get injured. That's a pie in the sky thinking. So you've got to have contingencies for your other areas of life. And for a lot of us, obviously that means your health and fitness, but you've got to have what we would call a minimum standard, right? For me, I was talking to one of my guys, like, fuck, if I'm, I'm injured at the moment, well, no, I wouldn't say I'm injured. I've got a little bit of a tweak that I don't want to aggravate. So for me, my minimum standard is my food and my walking. I need to get at least two big walks in a day. I usually get about 20, 30 minutes in the morning, try to go for sort of 30 minutes in the afternoon as well. And usually, a little bit of just random stuff in between there if I get the opportunity. But that's got to be my minimum standard when I can't do, and it'd be the same for if shit was hectic with work or at home or whatever. Like, there's a lot of contingencies that have got to go in to help you reduce the amount of decisions you have to make. Because that's the biggest pain for a lot of guys, is the amount of decisions you constantly have to make when you're already feeling stretched thin. You need to have default. Cool. Can't be fucked cooking. I'm getting Guzman and Gomez. No, I'm not getting KFC. No, I'm not getting pizza. I'm getting Guzman and Gomez burrito bowl chicken with extra meat. Like, it doesn't have to be a decision. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to cook it. It just gets fucking done, right? That's it. Those are the sort of the level of decisions you need to make. But you need to, I guess, it's kind of, for a lot of us, it comes back to the awareness of, we need to be more present with our emotions and our state, and do that sort of every week, ideally every day, but every week, checking in. How am I going? at the moment? What is, you know, am I feeling drained? Am I feeling tired? Am I feeling stretched thin? And then that way you can recognize the signs before it turns into a shit show.
Completely agree, mate. I think that's one of the hardest parts. It's like people go, oh, one, they don't look for the signs. So they're in the midst of it. They're already in the midst of burnout trying to find their way. But if you can start to see the signs, then you go, well, you know what? I can take a bit of a deload week from the gym. And that does a deload week from the gym doesn't mean you don't go to the gym, guys. It just means you take it a little bit easier in the gym. You can knock back like 30% or 40% off the intensity that you're lifting for that week, still go through the program, just take scale back the weights a little bit. So we're still keeping the habit of the gym. Maybe it's taking down 20% or 30% of the kilometers you're running in a week if it's following a running plan. So if you're knocking out 50K weeks, maybe you just knock it back to a 30K week or a 25K week for that week. And what you're doing is we're decreasing the stresses. As we talked about before, there is financial stresses, there's emotional stresses, and there's physical stresses. So what we're trying to do when we see that we are experiencing some form of burnout or overwhelm, we want to decrease the stresses that we're putting on you. Now, for sure, if I gave you $100,000, it might decrease the financial stressor, but that's not something that I'm willing to do for everyone out there. So what we can do instead is we can go, you know what? Let's take off one of the stresses that we all have control over. And that is one of the exercise stresses. So we can decrease the load or decrease the output in running. And I think what we're looking at that is what we if we think about it, it's like 33% financial, 33% emotional, 33% physical. That's 100% of our stresses. All we're trying to do is take, 50% off that that physical stressor, which, takes the bandwidth down. It makes it take a little bit of a breather and we can go, okay, I can breathe again. I can catch back up. I'm not pushing my body to its limits whilst everything else is getting pushed to the limits. So I think that's one thing we do. We need to have a plan when we experience burnout. So before it actually happens, as Jay said before, it's if, when, then situations or if, when, then scenarios. So if, when, I feel like I'm burnt out and I don't want to cook dinner tonight, then I go and I have this choice. I'm just struggling through my weeks, then my minimum standards are I still get to the gym 2 times a week, right? That might be your minimum standards. It might be if when I'm struggling to get my steps in, then my minimum steps in is like 7,000 steps a day. You just have to have these if, when, then scenarios for your minimum standards. This isn't your gold standard. This is your minimum standards that you want to hit. So make sure you get past the threshold of being you. Now, also, you just need to make sure that you're actually following a plan that's supporting you. You're going to experience a lot more burnout if you're in a huge calorie deficit. You're going to experience a whole lot more burnout if you're in a lower protein-based diet. If you've set goals and routines up that are overextending you way too early. So, with, again, my long runs, I'll increase my long run each week by about 10 to 15%. I didn't wake up and go, hey, I'm going to run a half marathon every week. No, it's like, every Sunday we wake up, we went from 20Ks to 22Ks to a 24, 25K to a 28K. Every week we'll just increase the length by an extra sort of 2K. So it's a progressive overload. Again, you don't go to the gym and just, you've never squatted before, you don't chuck 100 kilos on the bar, throw it on your shoulders and start squatting. No, because that will break you. So we need to progressive overload. Start with the bar. We do now put a couple of fives each side and then a couple more fives each side. And then over the weeks, we keep increasing the overload, which is the progressive overload. So you can adjust to the new norm. And that's how you don't get through burnout. That's how you don't all of a sudden get higher fatigue. That's how you don't get overwhelmed. So it's getting the progressive overload across the board with all of your facets in your life.
Mm, yeah, it's like this is a big one for injury risk as well. It's got to be load management, and you've got to know where things can give. And for a lot of people, as Trev's saying, that's your training load, but there's a lot of shit that you can still do. It's about not giving up completely. It's about keeping that minimum effective dose in there so you're still getting something. And I think for a lot of people, the idea of like burnout and this like mental fatigue also comes when you feel like you're not growing and you feel like you're not moving forward in areas. And this can be hard from a work perspective, which is why I always encourage people to go into and lean into the physical side of things, because that's something that you can control. you've got control over that, and you can see improvements, and you can, you know, you can watch your weight go down, or you can watch your strength go up, and you feel like you're growing. You feel like you're moving forward in some capacity, because I think burnout is like it's like a lot of energy out and not seeing a lot of results, right? Like a lot of new parents will get burnt out, especially with like if my daughter didn't, you know, come up to me and go, "Daddy, cuddle," and give me a cuddle, and you know, say "love you, daddy," and those sort of things. Like if she didn't say that and she was just like a little shit all the time, I'll be hitting burnout real fucking quick, because there's no reward, there's no growth, there's nothing positive, no good feeling coming back from that. But because, you know, then babies obviously don't often give you that. They don't, you know, really smile at you or do anything other than cry and poo and vomit for like the first 6 months, until they start, you know, being a bit more interactive and more fun, which is why a lot of new dads struggle. They struggle because they don't get that, like, you know, the mum often gets the breastfeeding sort of interaction and connection. The guys don't usually get that. You know, we don't get a smile or a giggle or a dad out for months and months and months. So you've got to push through, but that is a burnout time for a lot of guys, because you're not getting appreciation and you're not getting growth. You're not feeling like you're moving forward with anything. You just feel like it's Groundhog Day. So you've got to have an area where you are growing. Now, whether that is work for you, like burnout at work often happens when you're working long hours and you're doing lots of shit, but you're not enjoying it, or you're not moving forward with anything, right? Like I've met guys who are really passionate about the work they do, and working from, you know, 6 a.m. till 5 p.m. isn't an issue for them, because they're enjoying the process, and or they're building a project, or they're moving towards something, or there's something bigger behind that. So you've got to focus, if you are experiencing that burnout, you've got to focus on what areas of growth you have available to you, and putting some energy into those when you've got the capacity, because you know, progress and growth equals happiness for 99.99% of people. Like that's the thing that is a trigger for happiness, is for you to feel like you're growing, for you to feel like you're moving forward. Because, you know, the idea of a burnout, you know, you're spinning your wheels, you're just going and like using a lot of energy and not really getting anywhere. So you don't want to be a burnout. You want to be a sprint car that goes down the road, and then you're not, you know, just trying to hit the wall, right? Trying not to crash.
But you also don't want to go out too fast. Yes. So then you, after 10 seconds, you give up.
Yeah.
So I think...
Unless it's a 10-second race, in which case that's the goal.
Exactly. But I completely agree, Jace. I think like, so how do we avoid it happening to you? Well, one, we don't wing it. Two, we don't do it by ourselves. Three, we don't make it complicated. And two, we just don't go out too hard, right? So we need to see that progress. So when we go... Well, I need to have a plan, okay? Because I think overwhelm and burnout, we're going to couple them together. I think the biggest thing is having a plan of what to do in general, but having a plan of what to do when you do experience this type of overwhelm. So we need to have a plan with our food, we need to have a plan with our training, and we need to sort of like have more implementation intentions, okay? Because when we start to feel burnt out, we start to hit decision fatigue. So we start to go default back to previous version of ourselves, like our old identity, the one that made us fat and unfit. We start to default back to those decisions. You know, when we go to dinner, we're going to go, "Oh, I'll just have a pizza and a beer." You know, "Oh, I'm just going to skip the, I'm lacking energy." When people are overwhelmed and also have burnout, they always feel like they're tired. So I'm going to skip the gym. When we know that movement, like that motion, gives us the emotion that we want. Motion equals emotion. So like if we want energy, we have to actually expend energy. You know, that training releases endorphins. It makes us feel better. So we don't want to make it, we want to make sure that we have a plan in place. We're going to go, yes, I'm still going to exercise. I'm going to do a minimum 10 minutes each day. I'm going to default maybe back to a meal plan so I don't have to, especially for my dinners. So I go, okay, this is Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. I'm going to make sure they're easy recipes to execute, or easy to make, because I don't want to spend lots of time on this. Because again, it means like happens because we have a lack of time. And you know, we're scattered across the board, or we're spread a little bit too thin. So we need to make sure it's easy to prepare for us. And also like meal prepping your lunches and breakfast for the week. Like this is what helps you overcome those daytime issues with your food at lunchtime and breakfast. So it's like meal prepping every Sunday and maybe every Wednesday for the next 3 or 4 days ahead of time. I think, you know, that's the plan that we want to execute. Like we need to have a plan for our food, our training, and create implementation intentions around there of like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to do it? And what time am I going to do it? And, you know, who is it with?
Exactly. Having those contingencies, and also understanding like all you need to do is take the first step towards it. Like one of my guys is feeling a little bit like down about the results. He's like, all right, I'm going to go to the footy tomorrow. I don't know what the options are going to be there. It's like, yeah, they'll probably have some kind of like chicken salad roll thing that you can have, something with vegetables, something with protein. Like there'll be something available for you. He's like, oh, I was like, are you going to be drinking? He's like, oh, like I might, maybe, like it depends on how much like peer pressure I get. I was like, okay, cool. So we're making the decision. You're not fucking drinking, right? Because that's a slippery slope. It's a decision that you make and then it just compounds and compounds and compounds, and you've got to have that line in the sand mentality. You can't give yourself, especially when you're close to burnout, you can't give yourself wiggle room. You give yourself wiggle room, you wiggle into a shit decision and a shit situation. And it exactly as Trav says, it compounds. Like if you have a couple of beers, you wake up the next morning, you kind of feel average, then the fucking, oh, the weekend, hair of the dog or whatever. Oh, I've got a parent now and I'm tired. It's like, yeah, now, guess what? Now you just, it compounds, that little decision compounds into you not being your best self. And it's, I know Michelle Bridges said it. It's like, if I want to go to the gym, but I don't feel like it, I tell myself I only have to go for like 5 or 10 minutes. That's it. And I use the same thing with a lot of guys. If you don't feel like going for a half an hour walk, just go for a fucking lap around the block. I don't care. It's something. And then it's like, look, if I really don't feel like it by the time I finish a lap, you can go back inside. Easy. But usually by the time you get there, you're like, all right, I could go for another 5 minutes. Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm starting to get some energy in. And this is also key around those afternoon slumps. A lot of people are like, oh, what supplement can I take, or what protein powder, or what something can I do? What can I eat in the afternoon slump? I'm like, go for a fucking walk, right? Now, a lot of you guys are like, oh, but I work and this and that. I'm like, your boss will be so much more grateful for you instead of just being slumped and logging hours at the computer to be like, hey, I'm going to go for a quick 10 minute walk to like recharge myself, get some energy so I can come back and tackle this with a lot more focus. Because bosses aren't stupid. They know that the fucking 2 p.m., 3 p.m. slump happens. So if you go for a quick walk, reset yourself, get your steps up, get some energy, get some fresh air, you'll come back and you will be more energized. You'll be more recharged and, you know, they will thank you for it. They'll be happy about that. I had so much more energy when I used to work as a surveyor at the end of the day, when I was spending all the day banging in pegs and digging holes and walking around and carrying things. By the end of the day, going to the gym wasn't an issue for me because, you know, number one, I wasn't eating shit and drinking shit. That was probably a big one. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I'm tired at the end of the day. It's like, yeah, all you had was fucking Dare Ice coffees and pies. Your stomach is screaming for something with a bit more nutrients. But by the end of that day, I was so much more energized because I was moving all day long. And then I switched from that in a day in the office. By the time I finished, I was like, oh, fuck, like, do I have to go to the gym? Because you've been stationary and sedentary all day long. So the human body is not a battery, it's a generator, right? It creates energy. You've got to be intentional with that. And as Trav's saying, you've got to have your triggers. You've got to have your decisions that are set in stone of, I do these things when I feel like this. This is the line in the sand for me. I do this and I don't do this. It's like a default. Cool. I'm feeling close to burnout. I've got to fucking cut out alcohol. That is because that is an energy sucker, right? We've talked about it time and time again. It's something that pulls energy away from you. It's not something that gives you any level of relaxation or recharging, right? It's like a leaking battery as opposed to filling it up again.
Mate, I completely agree. I think if we look at it, we have to make sure that we have the right type of support during this time as well. So if we know going through time, like, you know, you might even know what's going to happen. My work weeks maybe go from 38 hours a week, and this period of time we're trying to execute a project, and this project means my work hours might go up to 55 hours a week. Let's just say that for the next 4 weeks. So you know there's about to be a period of like extreme work, which could push you into burnout. And because of that, you have to go, well, okay, during this time, I need to make sure I have the right support, okay? This is the most crucial thing. Do I have the right accountability? Do I have the right monitoring of what I'm doing? And do I have the right coaching if I need coaching? Because accountability, if you're accountable to yourself, like you're destined to failure when time is tough, especially when you're trying to change your life, because we are our own worst enemy. I'm not sure the stats, but I remember reading an article a while back about the amount of people that, especially guys, who don't take the prescribed medication that is prescribed to them by a doctor to make them feel, to get over the flu. It's like, I think it's like 30% of certain men take medication to get over a flu. That's to get feeling better, right? They just stop the script. They don't execute and they don't finish the amount of dosage. Now, this here is just your diet to lose some weight. It's not like given to you by a doctor. So the amount of people when times are tough, how many people are you think going to follow through? It's having someone that you're accountable to makes us actually follow through. You know, I am tracking my nutrition. I know someone's watching my nutrition. I know if I don't hit my nutrition that, you know, they're going to ask me what's going on, Jace. Mm. Like, why aren't you hitting your protein? Why did you have 1,000 calories of cider over here? Why did you have, you know, the 2 double quarter pounders on Friday night after the football? Like, you have someone accountable too. And because you have that, there is positive external pressure. Rather than negative external pressure, which is your friends telling you, no, man, have the burger, have the beer, what's wrong? You've changed. Negative external pressure pushing you away from your goals. You have someone who's in your corner, like you're a boxer. You know, every single day you come back to your corner and they're like, yeah, you're right, man. Put a bit of ice on your face, put a bit of water on your head. You're like, no, you can do. We'll push you out there for another round and we push you out there the next day. And we reset you, refocus you, you know, get you ready for the next round, which is that next sort of, you know, 24 hours where you go, yes, I can do this. And I think it's having a positive feedback loop with someone, whether it be 24 hours or whether it be every 7 days, where you have this, like, you know that someone's checking in on you. It keeps you on track. So accountability is crucial. Monitoring is the next thing that we talked about before. Monitoring your steps. It's like, what is my average steps? Am I on track? Yes or no? And what is my average intake with my calories? Am I on track? Yes or no? And what is my average, like, volume of training maybe? You know, what is it? Yes or no? Perfect. And it's having someone to know when you need to sort of decrease it or increase it and having that right person doing that. And also having the right coaching where it's like, sometimes if you're going through hell, because it like might feel like that for some of you out there, it's just having someone you can tell and they're not going to judge you. Because I think, you know, a lot of the times we're afraid to say things to our friends, our partner, and because we don't want to be judged. Or maybe they're too close to the situation or the scenario. So sometimes it's having a coach there where you can just sort of, you know what, this is what I'm going through. I just need to say the words out loud so I can feel better about this situation. And then we can move forward. Like sometimes having a coach just allows you to feel more at peace with what's happening. Hmm. And I think that is a big part of it as
yeah,
well.
A problem shared is a problem halved, right? Like just, and especially for men, like a lot of guys just don't get shit off their chests and they don't talk about it. They think, you know, they think it's like wrong, or they should just kind of grin and bear it and just like, just deal with the stress. And it's like, you've got to go through a couple of things. You've got to go through the realization that everyone's stresses and capacity is different because everyone's life is different. Like you could see a really jacked dude doing little bicep curls in the gym and be like, oh, why is he so weak? Because like, you don't know if he's recovering from an injury or, you know, if he's doing some weird fucking training of 1,000 reps each arm or, you know, whatever. Like that, you've got to understand that you don't know everyone's context. So you can't compare yourself to everyone else. You can't compare to, oh, that dude is handling all of this, you know, better than I am. It's like, well, I don't know, that might be a reason to learn from him and to look at, all right, well, what are they doing? You know, what are they doing differently to me? It's a way to learn, but it's not necessarily a way for you to, it's not a reason for you to beat yourself up. And it's not a reason for you to go, oh, I should be doing better. Because your experience is just your experience. And you've got to know that it's okay. And like other people go through the same shit that you do. And I was chatting to even one of my guys about this earlier. It's like, it's actually really good to hear that, you know, other people are doing the same thing. Other people are feeling the same shit. And I was like, yeah, man, I felt that fucking burnout and overwhelmed before too. And it's hard and it's rough and, you know, but you've just got to have these contingencies in place. And it's like, by just sharing, you feel a lot better by having someone in your corner that can go, look, you're still doing good. You're still smashing it. Let's just like keep focused on this, this, and this, because they're not in the water with you. They can see from the outside and they can say, hey, it sounds like, yeah, this is busy at the moment. This is busy at the moment. Let's just pull back on this for a little bit. And it's like, it's almost giving you permission to give yourself rest, because especially with guys, a lot of guys don't give themselves that permission to have downtime when there's stuff that they can be doing to help and move forward. And that's often how you end up in burnout. You just keep doing and doing and doing until you can't do anymore.
I think you gave me that analogy. Just then, it's like, you know, if you're drowning, what do they tell you to do? They say, do they tell you to like splash your arms and legs around as fast as you possibly can? They don't tell you to do that. Like, they tell you to they slow down. Mm. Like, they tell you to slow down, right? Because if not, you will drown.
Yeah.
So you need to slow everything down. If you're in burnout, it's the same thing. You don't splash your arms and legs around as fast as you possibly can. Like, that's not how you move.
Yeah. Like, right? Do you remember survival backstroke, right? I remember exactly. It. Like, you lay on your back, you do frog kick, and you do like gentle arm movements, right? You're not doing you're not doing butterfly, right? I don't even know if I could do one rep of butterfly.
But the biggest thing is you're still moving. Yeah. You might not be moving as fast, right?
It's sustainable.
Slow everything down. It's sustainable. It takes less energy and you can keep moving forward. And I think this is the biggest thing. So when we look at it and we know we're going through a tough period or we're feeling some form of burnout, then we need to just start small. We need to start winning again, right? Like, as Jay said before, it's like, you know, we need momentum. We need to feel like we're progressing because that is something that we need as human beings. We need progress. So how do I build momentum? How do I get the daily ticks again? You know, whether it is, okay, I used to be hitting 12,000 steps a day. I used to be doing this. So I'm going to start. No, I don't care what you used to do. I don't care at all. Like, we're starting right now from fresh over the next 2 weeks. And I just want you to hit 5,000 steps a day. That's it. I don't care if you used to do 20. I don't care if you used to do 15. I don't care about anything in the past. We're talking about right now. With your current scenario, with your current constraints, I need us to start winning again so you start feeling like a winner. I need you to do 5,000 steps a day. I need you to do a 10-minute workout every single day. Oh, but I can do, I just like a minimum 10 minutes. If you decide to do 20, happy to you. I don't care if you did 20, but you just tell me if you did 10 because I don't care about anything except momentum right now. And we try and build back momentum to bust us out of the overwhelm because then all of a sudden, you start to feel, yes, I can do this again. Yes, momentum is on my side. And when an object is in motion, it tends to stay in motion, right? And we can't get in motion if we're like, I'm going to hit 30,000 steps a day and you fucking hit it once every 7 days and then you feel like a loser because you can never do it, right? It's like, no, you start small, start winning, get progress, get momentum, and then all the results are going to come from there as well. I think you have to understand this. So, and then as you start to build that momentum, that's when you increase the complexity, right? We don't start from zero. We don't go from zero to hero, right? We slowly increase that complexity, and yeah, then you'll get to hero status. But it doesn't happen overnight.
Well, I think about like the comparison for me is that the running journey for me, and I've referenced them before. I started like November last year. I was running for 10 minutes. I did 10 minute jogs. That was what I did. I started, and I was like, yeah, you would look at me and you would be like, oh, come on, bro, you could have done more than that. And I say, yeah, I probably could have, but I needed to learn how to pace myself. My heart was beating out of my fucking chest after that. And I did did 9Ks at like a 6:30 pace, which was, you know, I just didn't stop the whole time. That was my goal, was just to not stop. And it was fucking 32 degrees, which Trav's telling me, oh, bro, you don't need water for that. Yeah. I was like, mate, 32 degrees. He hasn't seen that in 6 years. but like that started in such a small, but if I thought, oh, this isn't a big enough step, then I would never be at the place where I'm at now because I would have just given up, right? And you've got to see that. It's like it can ramp up a lot quicker than you think it can. It can ramp up really fast for your progress, but you need to have the mindset of I'm doing more this week than I did last week. And then this week, I'm doing more this week than I did last week. And eventually you get back up there. I deadlifted back in the day. I think my max deadlift was about 140 kilos, right? I'm a very long limbed dude, but I've got very long legs and really awkward hips and shit like that. So it was like a sumo deadlift. And that was like the max deadlift I ever did. Have not got back there again in a very long time. I've had plenty of like lower back issues and little hip stuff. And so it's not been a lift that's really favored me. I can look back on that and go, oh, I'm piss weak now. I'm shit now. I can't get back there or whatever. But it's like, I'm getting stronger in a lot of other areas. It doesn't matter about that one lift for me, but I'm still getting stronger. If I looked back on my peak and I was just always reflected on that and I always compared myself to that, I'd be like, well, I'm shit. But if I think about my progress in the last year, I've gotten a hell of a lot stronger. I've gotten a lot more mobile. I've gotten a lot more flexible. All of these things, like earlier in the year, if I had done this little back tweak, I would have probably been out on my ass, not able to move for a week. But now it's just like, oh, it's a little bit of tweak, a little bit of tightness, a couple of days off and I'll be able to start moving again properly and have no real issues. Like, that is a huge improvement from where I was. You've always got to contextualize your current situation. You've always got to look back with the context and go, where have I been and where am I now? And let that inform your, I guess, your emotions and go, all right, cool. I mean, just compared to the last couple of weeks, we don't need to look back to the all-time high and see, oh, but where was I when I was 20 years old? It's like, fuck, you're not 20 anymore. All right. Yes, we can get back there, but it's just going to take a bit more time. Let's look at your trajectory rather than your result in absolutes compared to your previous best.
Agree, mate. Agree. I think those are the biggest things we have to focus on, guys. Like, it's not some magical cure when we're in overwhelm, but it's just, or when we're in burnout, but it's just starting small. It's having plans in place. And I think the biggest thing is, like, a lot of people do get into this burnout overwhelm because they don't take the time aside every single week to check in with themselves, emotionally check in, which is something a lot of guys don't do. It's like, how am I feeling? Like Jace was saying earlier, how am I feeling? How is my bandwidth at the moment to be able to take more load on? Am I stretched too thin? What do I need to plan out this week so I can reduce friction? Because I think a lot of the time, if we can reduce the friction inside our life, it helps us a lot. And we have to go, who am I listening to, right? Like, am I listening? Because this can also feel like even worse when people around you telling you can do even more. You're following these guys on Instagram who are 20 years old saying that we all have the same 24 hours in the day and you just need to toughen up. Yeah, I agree that everyone has the same 24 hours. But what we do inside those 24 hours is a lot fucking different, man. Like, I think when I didn't have kids and a wife, for sure. Like, I was, man, I was the most boring eater as well, right? Like, because I just couldn't be bothered. I was like, when I'm making food for myself, I'll eat some chicken and broccoli out of a pan. I'll crack an egg into a mug and throw it in the microwave for 90 seconds, and that's my poached egg, right? Like, I'll eat the most boring stuff, and I'll do it again and again and again because I was a dude without a partner who was just trying to eat to survive. And I would train for 2-3 hours whenever I wanted to train because I had nowhere else to go, because I had no commitments. Now, this is what these people are telling you on Instagram and on the social medias. And I'll tell you, basically, yeah, man, like, you have all the time in the world. It's like, you don't. I know you wake up, and I know the time you have is precious, because if you're at the gym, it means you aren't with your kids, right? If you're at the gym, it means you aren't with your partner. I know you're trying to juggle it. I know you're trying to be, you know, bring in as much money as you can for your family to have them, you know, financially well off with your partner. I know you're trying to do so much. So when you are doing the gym and trying to do all of your health-based work, you want to make sure that it's actually going to give you the best bang for your buck. Because I know what I like. I don't want to fuck around. I don't have, if I can spend an hour training or half an hour training or 14 minutes training, I want to spend the most minimal amount of time training as possible to get the maximum result that I'm looking for, so I can spend more time with my kids. Like, that is my strategy. How can I get the most effective dose out of this so I can spend more time with my kids while still running faster, still lifting well, still maintaining a healthy body physique that I'm comfortable with? And like, that's what I look at it. And then also, it's the same as when we give our guys calories, right? What is the most amount of calories I can give you every single week that will get you the result that we want? It's not like, let's just give you the least amount of calories. No. What's the most amount of calories that I can give you every single week where you still lose 1% total body weight loss per week? It means like you're losing a kilo a week if you're 100 kilos. Because that means we have room to move. And it's again, that means if I'm not getting the result with my training and I'm giving myself, I don't know, 14 minutes or 28 minutes and I'm not getting the result anymore, it means I have room to move. Right? I can go up another 6 minutes. I can go up another 8 minutes. I can add on another kilometer to my run, because it's only another 6 minutes, right? Like, if you just go all in health for leather, you're sacrificing all other areas of your life. And then you are a one-dimensional person. As dads, remember, we have 3D goals, three-dimensional. We have our work goals, we have our health goals, we have our love goals. And that's why overwhelm can happen, but only if you're trying to put all chips in on all hands at once. No, we want to go minimal effective dose pretty much on all chips, which means, Jace, like we're talking about, it's like it's not spending time for the sake of spending time with the kids. It's spending quality time with the kids, right? Put your fucking phone down. Spend time with them. Do the stuff that they love with them. It's not about just sitting next to your partner at nighttime scrolling your phone. It's like, no, spend the most effective dose with your partner, right? Like, be present with them, communicate with them, you know, share food with them, actually be there with them, listen to their day and their conversations, right? Like, otherwise, we're kind of, we think we're doing everything, but we're actually half-assing everything. I think that's
yeah, exactly right. Like, if you and this is the biggest thing with health and fitness, you throw everything in and you give yourself absolutely no wiggle room, which is why we tell guys, like, we're not starting out with fucking 6 workouts a week, right? It's unrealistic. We're starting with what we can actively do. Oh, but I want to do more. And I thought this program would be more hardcore and I'd be like smashing it and this and that. It's like, yeah, then guess what? It's like the princess and the pea. You get one little fucking thing goes wrong and all of a sudden the whole thing comes collapsing down. You've got to give yourself a buffer. Like, it's the same thing with people who have a calendar that's completely fucking blocked out. Every 15 minutes is scheduled. They know exactly what they're doing at every 15 minutes. It's like, that does not mean you're going to be very productive, because something's going to go wrong. Someone's going to take 16 minutes and then you're fucked, right? So when you are planning this sort of stuff, you've got to give yourself wiggle room. You've got to give yourself flexibility to pivot and to understand that things are going to expand, things are going to contract, there are things that are going to take more time, some things are going to take less time. You've just got to have behavioral flexibility and be willing to understand that as long as you have sight of the bigger picture goal and you have those 3D goals in those areas, and as Trev's saying, you give intention to all of the time that you do. I don't care if you walk for an hour, if you're just doing it to get the job done because it says walk for an hour. No, I've only got 20 minutes, so I'm going to give that 20 minutes my best 20 minutes. I'm going to fucking Kath and Kim speed walk that bitch, right? I'm gonna do it. You know, I'm gonna look like an asshole, but I'm gonna do it. Those are the things. And you, as Trev's saying, when you're with your fucking kids, I've spent my half an hour of quality time with the kids. It's like, be present with them, play games with them, have fun with them, and all of that time, like, better quality time is always better than just a greater quantity of time, right? No one wants someone who hangs around and isn't actually really there. So if you're gonna be there, be there. If you're gonna work, work. If you're gonna play, play. And if you're going to train, train. Don't piss fart around on your phone for half the set. It's like, give yourself short rest times and just fucking smash it out and be done, right? None of us want to be in the gym or training for that long of a period of time. It's like, you want to get it done as soon as possible. That's what I keep telling myself when I've got to do the burpees. It's like, all right, I don't stop, because if I stop, I have to longer that I have to do burpees. So just fucking get through them, right? But you've got to give yourself wiggle room. You've got to give yourself space and capacity for things to expand and contract, because they naturally will.
I completely agree, mate. And guys, I think that's the biggest factors when we're trying to deal with overwhelm, when we're trying to deal with burnout. That's how we would look at it. And remember, as always, if you want us to help you close the gap between where you are and where you want to be with your success in your journey with body transformation, becoming the best version of you, becoming that fit dad, then go to fit-dad.club. Book in a call. We can talk about where you are, where you want to be, and how to close the gap. That's fit-dad.club. If you want to leave a comment on, you know, the podcast, wherever you're listening to it, whether it be YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you're listening to us, leave us a couple of comments, guys. Share this with a friend. Give us some ideas that you would like us to help you with on the next podcast, because that helps us make sure we're prepared for our podcast, giving you the answers that you actually want to hear. And I think that's what we want.
Anything else for you, I think that's Jace? It. Just remind yourself, but having someone in your corner to let you know, hey, it sounds like you're close to this, and letting you know that it is okay to take a rest is probably one of the most useful things that you can have. So just make sure you have someone in your corner. If it's not us, at least it's someone. But just keep hitting us up. Let us know what we can do for you, and we'll go from there.
All right, guys. Until next week. That's it from us. See you later.